Welcome to the Film Experience. I'm your host, Nathaniel, and I'm here with my co-host, Murtada.
Hello, everyone.
And we have a special post-Christmas, pre-New Year's guest, Kim Rogers of Head Over Feels.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
And we're so excited to have you, Kim. Welcome.
And this week's topic is Little Women. So we figured it would be bad if it was all men talking at them.
Right.
Good job, guys.
So did you see it with your family, Kim, while you were on your break?
I went with my middle sister, because I have two sisters. I'm the oldest. I went the day after Christmas, and it was kind of like me insisting that we were going. And to where I was like, I will go by myself if I have to. Yeah. And it's only playing on one screen, you know, in the multiplex here in Nashville, because Star Wars is in like every theater. So by the time we decided to go, we weren't even able to sit together.
Oh, no.
So, but I was like, if you want to come, you know, we're not going to be sitting together. And she was like, no, I'll come. So we went together. We were on the same row, at least, but and we probably could have asked people to move, but I was very content seeing the movie by myself.
Now I'm jealous that I didn't get to see it with people, because as we've complained on the podcast before, the screenings for the movie were very hard to get into, like the critic screenings, and they didn't let you bring guests, and it was just a big thing. So I saw it alone, and it is really such a communal movie, don't you guys think?
Something that, like, I mean, it's so familiar that, yeah, it is something you want to, like, see with someone, and you can, like, hit them at their at your favorite part.
Yeah.
Like, but it's also, I mean, I found it for me just, it was great to just sit and kind of, like, luxuriate in it and really just focus on the movie, as opposed to how, you know, people around me are reacting or whatever. But yeah, normally I'm one who I need someone to hold my hand during most movies.
Are you a fan of Little Women, of the book, of the other movies?
I mean, I grew up with it. Being a family of three girls, there was an animated version that I remember us watching a lot. That I don't know who did it, but I just very vividly see that animated version in my head. Of course, I love the 1994 version. That one is, you know, formative for me, because it came out when, how old was I in 1994? Like 14, you know, so the age of the girls when that came out. And so that one, I was always like, I was going into this one being like, I don't know, guys, I don't think it's going to be, you know, I didn't think there was any way that Timothée Chalamet could be as good as Christian Bale at all. Like, Christian Bale is like ultimate Laurie for me. You know, I came out enjoying Timmy a lot, though.
Oh, okay. I was good. That was the next natural follow-up question.
Yeah, I came out being like, oh, all right, I bought him. I just, like, the casting of him initially, I was very hesitant. And I like him as an actor, but it was just like Christian Bale is like so in my head that I didn't see how he would work. But he did. He did.
So this is Greta Gerwig's version of Little Women. She wrote and directed. Saoirse Ronan is Jo. Eliza Scanlon is Beth. Emma Watson is Meg. Laura Dern is Marmy. Florence Pugh is Amy. And even Meryl Streep has a part. It's an all-star cast.
I seem to remember that role that Meryl Streep plays as being, I don't remember it in the 94 version.
It was the woman who's, and the actress's name is escaping me, but she was in Sister Act. She was like the, one of the nuns, one of the cranky nuns.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, she was in Sister Act, and she was very much in this. I mean, Meryl is so dominating in her appearances that, of course, you would kind of forget the other one.
Well, and there was more focus on, in Greta Gerwig's adaptation, there was a lot more focus on Amy, either that or Amy's characterization, Florence Pugh, who was my favorite in the movie, was so strong that you ended up focusing on those scenes more.
My best friend and writing partner, Sage, came out of a screening being like, I think Greta is less judgmental of Amy. And I just think that the character of Amy benefited a lot from the way that Greta changed up the story structure. So we started with her as a grown up. And he came off a lot more, not, I mean, sympathetic, is sympathetic the word? I don't, relatable. But no, Florence was amazing too. That performance was absolutely phenomenal. I thought she owned it. She owned that movie.
Mm-hmm. The person I had trouble accepting, and I know, I think Murtata has a wildly different opinion here, if I'm remembering correctly, but the person I had trouble accepting was the new Beth, because in the 94 version, Claire Danes is so, if what you were talking about with Christian Bale as Laurie, Kim, Claire Danes for me is like burned into my brain in that performance. So that was the only performance where I had trouble like letting go of the 94 version.
Little Claire Danes and her cry face. Like,
yes. Before it was a meme.
Before it was, and it was like the perfect chin trembling, like when she gets the piano and like loses her mind. Well, and they did that totally differently in the 94 version as opposed to this one. I did like how this version developed the relationship with Mr. Lawrence a lot more. But yeah, no, Claire Danes was so good. I would agree with you on that. Not that she was like the weak link, but it's like, how do you live up to the Claire Danes performance, in my opinion?
She was my favorite, Eliza Scanlon as Beth. I thought she brought in... Beth is such a low-key character. You do not need a star like Claire Danes to give you, you know, her star magnetism. You need somebody who's new and somebody who's subdued and somebody who's just lovely on screen. That's why I loved Eliza Scanlon. She was my favorite by far. I thought the best part of this adaptation is how they built the relationship between her and Mr. Lawrence, played beautifully by Chris Cooper. All their scenes together, it's the only time I cried that I felt a lot of emotion was that scene when she goes to thank him for the piano while she's sick. And I just thought both of them were so lovely. And you've never seen this sort of intergenerational friendship just portrayed so lovelier on screen. And I just think both of them together were my favorite part of this film.
Yeah, that totally feeds into what I think it's so strong about the movie in general, is that I got a sense of community for it from it, and what you're talking about, the intergenerational relationships, a whole sense of like the whole town and the way everyone interrelated, I think more than other versions of Little Women. There was something about the fragmentation of the way the story was told, and just something about Greta's adaptation that just made me understand them as a family more than I had before, even though their individual characters always read clearly in all the other versions.
Yeah.
You know where that really came through was, for me, what you just said, the scene where with Amy and the Limes, and how the Lawrences are the one who find her that time, and then the whole family comes tumbling into the Lawrence.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
And that whole scene where it's just like, chatter, 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 chatter. It reminded me a lot of like an Austin movie, you know, kind of like it reminded me of the Joe Wright Pride and Prejudice when that happened, you know, when they all come in to get Jane. But that's what, like, really you could see that Greta got what it's like being in a family of all women. And just like no one shutting up, everyone talking over each other. It just like came over really well and gave it like a real sense of life to me.
So I have a controversial opinion about Florence Pugh. She was by far my least favorite performance.
Ooh.
I did not believe her for 1 minute that she was the youngest. She looked the oldest. She reads as 35. If you told me she was Marmee's younger sister from across town, I would have believed it. And when they gave her pigtails and put her with real 12-year-olds for her to play a 12-year-old in those school scenes, and when she was crying outside Laurie's window, I just completely could not believe that this was a 12-year-old. And it completely took me out of the movie. I know she gets the big scene with the monologue that Greta wrote for her, and that's why everybody loves the performance. But by the time that comes, I was already decided, I can't deal with you, Florence Pugh, as Amy.
I don't know. It really worked. It worked for me. I liked it better than having two actresses play her.
Me too.
You know, because there was such a wild... Now, if Kiki Dunst could have played Amy the entire time in the 1994 version, I think we would talk about it differently, because she was so good as young Amy, and Samantha Mathis kind of like vanished.
Was flat to me. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be two actresses. It just may be somebody who reads young.
Listen, I was so scarred by all the de-aging on cinema this year that I'm just really glad to have someone just pretending to be young as opposed to computer augmented.
Agree.
I mean, I know she is the same age as Saoirse and Emma Watson. She's not older, but she reads much older than them.
Well, because Emma reads super young, you know, where it's like Emma to me almost could have played Beth. The way she, you know, she didn't read. And I really like the Meg from the 94 version because she looked older. She looked like the oldest.
Yeah.
And Emma, to me, like, did not look like the oldest. But she did a really great job. I really liked her. That shot of her in that pink ball gown from behind, you know, that like gown was just exquisite. I like had a fleeting thought about Nathaniel when I saw that shot. I was like, oh, I bet, you know, yes, that's a great shot.
I do love the costume shots.
Yeah. What did you guys think of the conceit of the screenplay where it starts later on in the story and goes and flashback? Was it confusing? Did you like it? Did you thought it added anything new to the story that we're all familiar with?
I dug it. I thought, you know, it was a way to make it her own. And it gave it a real distinctive. I love how the cinematography changed, you know, where it had like the vivid colors of their youth and then more muted in the present day. And again, I thought it made Amy a lot more sympathetic, starting with her as an adult. I really liked, you know, because being as a writer myself and someone living in New York, I've always related to Jo March, like from childhood, you know, so I really liked starting with that in New York, because it's like, even in the 94 movie, it's very like distinctive in the halves, you know, and everyone kind of like sighs when like Jo finally goes to New York, because it's like not as fun per se.
Yeah.
Like the second half of the movie is not nearly as fun. And I liked splicing it together, because it also, to me, gave some of the flashbacks more context in a way, you know, and it's also context through someone looking back on it as opposed to it happening at that time, you know, totally changes how you interpret a scene. And I thought it worked really well.
I liked it as a framing device, but I will admit that the constant back and forth was a little bit of a problem for me. Not that I don't think you could have gotten away with it at all if the story wasn't so familiar, but this is an odd reference, but I was thinking of the recent, very popular Fiddler on the Roof off Broadway that was in Yiddish. And I loved it, but I was thinking as I was watching this, this would only work with properties that were that familiar, where you bring in so much understanding already. And so I felt, while I was watching this version of Little Women, that I would have been a little lost if I wasn't already so familiar with the story, because it not because of the framing device, which I think works really well, but because of the back and forth constantly mm-hmm. for the whole movie.
Yeah. I mean, it was okay for me. The only moment that I was just very confused is when Beth dies and then they cut away to her alive again and getting better. I'm like, you could have at least done the getting better first. And then yeah. the death. It was just so confusing that whole time with Beth being sick in two timelines. And in both timelines, Joe is taking care of her. And I'm just like, okay, which one are we in? And I know it was like Joe was with the short hair in one, but still, it wasn't always very obvious.
No, I agree. And to some extent, I do think that her death could have had more impact if it could have stood on its own a little bit more.
Yep. You know, absolutely.
And again, not to continue to hype on the 1994 version, but like, this is what we're doing.
That's what everybody's doing, really.
The death scene in the 94 version is so impactful for me.
Yes.
Like, that I still, when I watch it, because I watched it on Thanksgiving Day, because I spent Thanksgiving all by myself and drank wine and watched. I watched Anne of Green Gables and I watched Little Women. So it was like a day of, you know, young authors or whatever. And I have seen that 94 version so many times, and every time in Beth's death scene. And then when you have Hannah with the flowers sprinkling the petals over the, mm-hmm. which, who knows why she does that other than it's pretty. Who cares? It's great. And you cry because it's got that great score behind it. And, yeah, I think her death scene, what I should have been sobbing, and I wasn't in this one. I didn't cry in this one at all. I don't think. I maybe cried once.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Greta, I agree with you, like, it doesn't have that kind of impact, but I honestly feel that Greta wasn't, this adaptation, I don't actually think she really wanted that with the Beth character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think it was a mistake so much as a choice, even though I agree that the editing and the structure is maybe a little off compared to the rest of the movie around Beth. But she seems so much more interested in the stuff that gets less attention in other versions, like Amy's sort of pragmatism, which it always came across as superficialness before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And here it's like recast as like, this is, you know, I just am looking out for myself, you know?
Well, she recognizes her place and women's place in society, and she's not going to fight against it in the way that Joe does.
Yeah.
And she's just like, of course this is what has to happen. And maybe I'm not going to love my husband, but he's super rich and then he can like take care of all of you guys. So, you know, I definitely think it came across way less materialistic and more like, this is what has to be done. And I'm going to do it because no one else in this family is going to do it.
Yeah.
She really
is. Yeah. But then happy ending, spoiler alert, she gets both.
Yeah, that's true. You know who I really, really love is Saoirse Ronan. She was just amazing. And I know Joe is sort of always everybody's favorite. And here, Greta does give her very tricky scenes. Like that scene at the end where she has to sort of explain what this new version is about. You know, women are more than just, have more than just hearts. They have minds. They want to do this and that, which is basically why I think Greta made this movie, to just write this mm-hmm. speech.
Yes.
And that scene is just so hard because a lesser actress would have made that just platitudes that mean nothing, because it is one of those, it's a very tricky, yes, the words that she's saying are meaningful and important, but also they fall very close to just platitudes. So she just, that was such a hard thing to do, and she gave it so much heart and soul, and I don't think any other actress, even Winona, could have played that scene that way.
I agree. I think it's like the thesis statement, obviously, but she reads it like it's poetry rather than a thesis statement.
Or like an operatic, like aria. You know, there were so many colors in that speech, you know, and I mean, I'm ready for Saoirse to win an Oscar. I know this is not it, but I'm like, I love her so much, you guys. I love her so much. She's always so good. She always delivers. Yep. Like, no matter what the movie or the project, she goes like 100% in acting mm-hmm. to her fingertips, even if it's like a shitty script or not that this was, but she's been in other movies yeah. where bad scripts. She's always so believable and just like, just reliable. And reliable sounds boring, but it's just like when she's in a movie, she delivers. And she delivered in this.
Yeah, and I mean, to the fingertips is exactly right, Kim, because this performance is a full-bodied performance. And she gave Jo this very active look. She's always running. She's never still. She's falling on seats. She's getting up fast. She's
yeah.
getting on fire. You know, it's such a full-bodied performance, and it fits Jo to a T. She did great.
That's well, and the fact that, like, her hair's always messy, like, mm-hmm. you know, because you tend to think of all the hairstyles of being very polished and waxed and every hair in the place. And even when she started wearing her hair up, she always had, like, the pieces coming down. I loved the costuming of her wearing a lot of menswear-ish styles mm-hmm. instead of, like, the pretty dresses, especially grown-up Jo, like, and the proposal scene, like that vest unbuttoned, yeah. she just looked great the whole yeah. time.
I laughed really hard at that when the haircut scene, like, you're one beauty.
No, that was like the line you can't ever cut.
Right.
You know, and the way she, and what I liked about Florence, she had a very like deadpan delivery a lot of times. And so she just, the way she said one beauty is just like, oh God, you know, yeah. So good. So good.
So Kim,
yes.
I always think of you when the subject of hot men comes up. And I think we already know your answer because you do this so much on Head Over Heels, but, Timothy Chalamet or Louis Garrel?
I was into Louis more than Timmy, but I loved Timmy. But Lori, to me, can I say curse words on this?
Yes.
Lori to me is like the ultimate fuckboy. And there was something about Louis's performance as Professor Bear. I mean, cause I was into Gabriel Byrne in 1994, you uh-huh. know, even more so now. I wasn't, you know, when I was a teenager, I was like, why does she end up with this like old dude?
Yeah.
And as an adult, I'm like, oh yes, of course she ends up with this old dude. Well, and they made him younger in this. I was into him. I was into him a lot.
I think yeah. Louis is just hot. I think he's pushing 40. He's like in his late 30s, which is what is Professor Bird supposed to be in his 40s? But I agree, Louis yeah. all the way. He's definitely hotter. Better hair. He even has better hair than Timothy.
That was, and that's hard to do. It was the hair wars in there.
I know, right? Well, what I like about Friedrich is I loved the scenes where he challenged her yep. and was kind of like, this is garbage and you're better than this. And I thought his performance was great because he was so, and having like spent some time with, friends who were German, like he like nailed like the personality of it and the bluntness, you know, cause I had a friend in my tour that I did with, New Zealand last year and he was German and he was just like always so just like matter of fact and blunt and stated. So it reminded me a lot of my friend and, yeah, I was into him, and someone needed to challenge her. Lori would have never challenged her that kind of way, you know?
Well, that's one of the reasons I loved Louis in this so much is the way he challenged her. And it felt like that arc within her where, you know, she at first is so defensive
mm-hmm.
and the way she comes to realize, oh, maybe he's good for me. It was great to me because it was played very subtly. Like, yeah. She never, like, had this big turnaround with him, but you can sense that she's maturing and that she's, you know, ready for him. But I also like that they kept the ending so ambiguous since Louis Azumé Alcott never married. And so there's that thing where it's possibly not the real ending that they're giving you, and they make that kind of, Greta makes that really fun, I think.
I didn't think it was ambiguous at all. I thought they got married, and it was obvious, but you know, different readings.
No,
because they make a point
about
talking about marriage, and you have to end it. You know, she either dies or marries, and then it's a compromise, but it's also we're being meta. They were doing it like that, which was actually going to be a question to you guys. What did you think of this sort of meta ending? Because they're commenting on Louise's ending and while doing the ending and then making this whole romantic sort of let's run and get Professor Bear. And it was kind of too much.
Well, that's why I think it's ambiguous. It's actually like possibly just the novel that you're seeing. The novel that she wrote for the publisher, the ending.
That's what my sister said when we were leaving the theater. She was like, did you notice that they changed the filter for those final scenes? And the cinematography was a lot more like the novel. And she was like, I don't think that she actually went after him. And I was like, shook. But I was like, what? I almost was like, let's go see it again right now. So and Casey was really perceptive in that way. And then of course I went home and like started looking up articles about Greta talking about the ending and her saying that she wanted it to be kind of ambiguous because it was so over the top. Mm-hmm. I do agree that it was a just in the novel kind of situation. Now, did she find him and maybe marry? In this version, I don't think so. I think maybe, I do think that he came and they had that time with the family or whatever, and maybe they were friends. But I don't think they got married in that one.
Yeah, that's sort of funny how you guys read it.
I, of course, read it like you should, or like how you think. And then after Casey was like, no, this is different. And I was like, wow. Good job, Greta Gerwig.
I mean, I was there until they did that scene where the family's all together and they all have kids, but Joe doesn't have kids, but Professor Bear is in that scene.
Yes. Yeah. And would I think that maybe they would live in sin or something like that? I don't know. If you did that in the 1800s, like that would be something that I would buy more than the big like romantic thing that they did. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, where it did lose me in the like run to the train station, not lose me, but did take me out of it to where I do think it was all just for the novel, was like even Lori being like, yes, go get your man. I was like, no. Like,
yeah, and actually Timothée was not good in that scene when he was trying. I'm like, what? Did Lori just jump into 2019? What is going on, Timothée?
Yeah. You know what I did love was the moment where Joe put the letter in the mailbox, like where she was like regretting what she had done and she put the letter in the mailbox. Yeah. Then they show up and they're married and she has to run and like go get that letter out of the mailbox. And then that moment on the bridge, I was like, I was really into that, you know, of her like questioning and being like, oh, of course he'll take me back. And
Yeah, and that's why that scene, the thesis statement scene we were talking about, works so well, is because you get the full picture of her, like three-dimensional Joe, not just like headstrong writer or independent woman or future wife, but like this full person. And I think that's why that's so moving, that line delivery.
You know what I liked? Lonely. From Timothée, I really liked him in the proposal scene, and he really rocked that scene. And I went and watched the clip of Christian Bale and Winona, and I have to say, I like Chalamet better. Even though I, you know, I remembered Christian Bale, and he was always like a performance like, oh, that Bale was so good in that scene. But when I watch them next to each other or within a couple of days of each other, Chalamet wins.
Well, because I think Timmy played it more like he knew it was a losing battle from the beginning to me. Like, but he was like, but I can't not ask.
Yeah.
And like, Christian played it more of just like him being really thrown off that she's saying no. Yeah. And Timothy played it of like, I know she's going to say no from the beginning, but if I don't ask her, I'm going to die. Because what if she said yes?
Yeah.
But like, he knows from the beginning. We haven't talked about Laura Dern at all.
Yeah, Marmy, to me this time, was, I didn't really get much from Marmy this time. I didn't bring her up.
I liked the small moments where, like, she would talk about being, that she had a whole lot more going on. I thought, I mean, yeah, because, I mean, Marmy's always kind of shoved aside to me. But the moments where she talked about having anger and frustration and stuff like that, but burying it, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, that's good. I'm also just on, like, a Laura Dern high this year, so I'm just, anytime
I mean, the zeitgeist is with you there.
Yeah.
She's going to sail to her awards victories.
Please, I hope so. I just, I'm ready. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for her to get her Academy Award. But yeah, and then a wild Bob Odenkirk as Mr. March, which I'm always like, why do we even bring back Mr. March? Like, he does nothing.
You're totally right about that. But I think it would be too sad if he dies.
Right? It would be a little too sad.
Well, and also he gets to say the title, and you have to have that in there.
Oh, you
have my little women.
You're like, whatever, go sit in a corner. Your wife does everything for you.
So there's been a lot of talk about this movie being stiffed in awardage, which I don't necessarily think is the case. I think it was kind of just SAG that ignored it. What do you guys think? Do you guys think it's going to get Oscar nominations or be like the original where it was just a couple? I mean, not the original, the 94 just got a couple nominations.
I don't know. Unclear, because like the last 2 days, people have just been going, I'm loving it. And I feel that there is a tide turning buzz in terms of buzz. But as we know, the Academy does not love movies about women that much. And this is not only yeah. about women, but it's about little women. And it's in the title.
Yes. Yes, they also don't love movies about young people very much, and it's both.
It's a lot. I mean, I can't imagine that like Florence won't get in supporting actress, you know, and Saoirse is on like the bubble-ish.
Yeah.
Well, because it's also the thing, and you talk about it on Film Experience all the time, or at least in your charts that I like obsessively read every month, you know, that Saoirse is so young and that we're really going to give her, like, what would it be, her third nomination?
Fourth. Yeah.
Without a win. Like, yeah. So young. Like, so that's why it's kind of like, I mean, she should have won for Lady Bird, but that's just me.
Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah. Not just you.
No. She should have won for Lady Bird. I was, like, so... Even Frances was like, why am I winning? as far as other, I mean, I would imagine like it would get a costume nomination, wouldn't
yeah.
it?
I mean, the 94 version was nominated for actress, costumes, and score. Uh-huh. So it'll be interesting if this one also does one acting nod costume. It's going to get a costume nomination, obviously,
yeah.
And maybe the score.
Yeah, well, because it's Desplat is the
yeah.
star, so and they love him, so.
So we might have a repeat where it just gets the exact same three.
I really
we'll
love
see.
The cinematography in it. I thought it was like filmed beautifully.
Well, it was shot on film, which apparently Steven Spielberg demanded that Greta shoot it on film rather than digital.
Really?
There's a little like bit going around about how he said, no, you have to shoot it on film. It takes place in the Civil War.
So we're going for reality.
Yeah. You know all those movies they made during the Civil War.
I mean, so many.
They were all on film.
I don't know, Nathaniel. I prefer the postbellum, you know, films. You know, the ones right after the Civil War. Those are the better ones. I don't know what else it would get. I mean, we already know that, like, she won't get nominated for director.
Maybe adapted screenplay.
Maybe adapted screenplay. We'll see.
Murtada, yeah, deep in thought.
I think adapted screenplay, it has a good chance. So it might diverge from the 94 with that nomination. Mm-hmm. I could actually see it only getting adapted screenplay.
Really?
That's a possibility, yeah. Because, like, the costumes, it has a lot of competition.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't know that they stand out when you compare them to other flashier costume movies this year. And I don't know, Florence Pugh has not been nominated for anything so far. And Saoirse, like you guys said, is on the bubble. So I could see a scenario where it's just adapted screenplay. And this movie is about the screenplay. That's the thing that's different. That's the thing that people notice. That's the thing that people talk about. And sometimes even if you don't like it, just the fact that you're talking about the screenplay and the adaptation and what has been done and how it's different gets people to be like, you know what? Yeah, I'll vote for that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fact that it's a real adaptation as opposed to just another version,
mm-hmm.
Like she's actually adapting, so to speak, making it her own, if you will.
You have to nominate the screenplay. Yeah, because we wouldn't be talking about it. I don't think we would do a full podcast.
Probably
about this movie if Greta hadn't done it the way that she did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she did do it in a way where you had to look at the story in an original way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't think anyone other than her could have done this movie, especially in this way. Like, if you're going to do another Little Women,
mm-hmm.
like, I personally don't think I can think of any other director that I would rather have do it, honestly, at this point in time.
Yeah. I mean, she hasn't been making movies that long. I mean, she hasn't been behind the camera that long. And it's interesting to me and beautiful to me that we already understand her voice as a filmmaker, I think. Because this feels like a natural succession from Lady Bird, which I never thought I would say.
Right. Well, it was just like, it's also super bold if you know, cause like you said, just getting into directing and be like, you know what I want to take on? Little Women. Like, who actually does that? It'd be like one of the most like famous female based stories of all time. You know, I mean, it's like a dude saying, I want to do Hamlet or taking someone and remaking like Streetcar Named Desire, kind of, you know, it's so iconic and has so many things that, you know, people view as signature. And it's real, real bold to be like, no, no, I'm going to make my version.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad she did.
Yes. Confident voice. We love the confident filmmakers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good times.
Have you guys been watching anything else over the Christmas break?
I have had my TV pretty much parked on BBC America and watching Doctor Who, which, you know, if anyone goes to Head Over Fields, we are very Doctor Who positive over there, to put it lightly. I haven't seen any other movies, though. I keep trying to... I wanted to go, but then it's also like, I don't want to, you know, leave my family for 2.5-3 hours, cause they don't want to come and all that kind of stuff. I was thinking of trying to go see Uncut Gems yesterday. That's like kind of the next one
mm-hmm.
on my list that I feel like I need to see. Of course, I'm seeing Star Wars again, going with my girlfriend to see it on IMAX on New Year's Day. And
yeah, I went to see Uncut Gems again, and I enjoyed it so much the second time.
Yeah?
Yeah, that movie is relentless, and you're kind of just, there's so much tension that knowing what's going to happen, you kind of relax more and just enjoy the jokes and the fun of it the second time. It's so good. It keeps climbing in my estimation. The more I think about it, I'm just like, is this my favorite movie of the year? It's not there yet. It's still Pedro Almodovar, but it's getting up there. It's so great. It's so good. The Safdies have done the thing. They are the new American directors. They are the new Scorsese, the new Coens, the new everybody. This is a long, 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 long career of amazing movies if they can keep this. It's so good.
Well, and favorite things is like actors turning, especially actors known for like comic stuff or dumb stuff, is like when they show themselves. And so I'm really like excited to see Adam Sandler in this. Cause you're always like, what? It was kind of how I felt when I saw Kate McKinnon in Bombshell when she did like a great, like serious performance. And I was like, oh man, I like want to see you.
Or Kristen Wiig. Has done that over and over. She has real nuance as an actor, not just funny.
Yeah, to where I don't even like think of Kristen Wiig in a funny actor anymore per se, because I'm like, she's done enough that I'm like, she's doesn't need to be just known for that stuff. So yeah, now the way you've raved about it, because I don't really know much about the movie other than
go in blind. It's great. You're gonna love it. So great.
I find, Kim, I relate to what you're saying about the holidays, and like I find it really hard to go to movies during the holidays, even though I go to movies all year round, because it's so hard to convince other people and to all agree on the same movie, which is why the only movie I went to, the only movie with a group lately was Knives Out, because everybody wanted to see it. Even though I'd already seen it, I was just like, okay.
Yeah, definitely. It's easier for me in New York to just, you know, and I'll also just go to movies by myself. Like, it's one of my great joys in life, honestly. Especially when you're with family and you're kind of, cause there was one year on the year that, Into the Woods opened, and I made my whole family go see Into the Woods on Christmas Day. It did not go well. Like, to where my mom still talks about it, about how much she hated it. And I'm just like, you know, and I did show my parents.
So you didn't try Cats this year is what you're telling me.
I mean, I went to see Cats on my birthday with my girlfriend because it opened on my birthday. And I went and day drank because I took the day off work. And then we went to see Cats after lots of drinks. And it wasn't even fun. I mean, it was fun listening to my friend sitting next to me who's like a big fan of Cats, and she like yelled about it the whole time to where I was kind of amazed we didn't get kicked out of the theater, but then like half of our screening walked out. So, you know, that's how that went.
So Murtada, I don't even think you've seen Cats, have you?
I haven't seen it yet. I'm waiting for some friends who are out of town and whatever, straggling. So we're going tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Good luck. At least maybe you'll see one of the, like, finished versions as opposed to the unfinished, needing to send out ones with better special effects.
I mean, honestly, like, when I saw it, like, people were complaining about Judi Dench's hand and that you could see her wedding ring and all that, and I'm like, that was the least of the unfinished things. Like, I noticed that, but it's, like, all during it, I was just like, why do they have human hands? All of them.
Like, why did we do this in general?
And it's not doing well. It's so surprising because you would think all these people who saw Cats all over the world on stage were going to go see it no matter what the critics said.
I mean, it's one of the most lucrative stage shows that ever existed. So you would think,
But it was the same kind of when they did Phantom of the Opera, and that movie you know, and it's still running in New York, and that movie bombed.
Yeah.
I don't think Andrew Lloyd Webber's musicals adapt well, per se.
That's because he's not good at musicals.
I'll be very curious to see how Sunset Boulevard translates.
Oh, the musical with one good song? I bet it will be terrible.
Well, at least he'll always have Evita. Evita was a modest hit at the movies.
I did show my parents Rocketman, because that has been kind of rentable or on demand. And my parents love Bohemian Rhapsody. And I was just like, can I please show you Rocketman?
Did they like it?
They liked it. They didn't hate it, which I feel like was the greatest accomplishment. They still like Bohemian Rhapsody better, which I'm like, you choose your own adventure. As I was watching it, I was just like so mad that A, they released it in May, and B, that it came after Bohemian Rhapsody, because I personally feel like Rocketman does circles around Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And Taryn,
yeah.
Yes, and like that he's not going to get an Oscar nomination. And I was watching it, and I was just like, I'm so mad.
But is he good enough for an Oscar nomination? He might be better than Rami Malek, but I don't think he's better than even 10 other men this year. I don't think he deserves it.
I would disagree. He's on the bubble for me. I'm still deciding on my final five, but I don't think there are 10 better people than him this year.
I think he
should think of 20.
Put my flag in the ground.
He should be more in the conversation. Whether or not he made the final five is one thing, but like I feel like he should be more in the conversation.
He is in the conversation. He's nominated for the Golden Globe and the SAG. He's definitely in the conversation. I think just personally, I wouldn't put him in even a top 20. I didn't think that performance was special in any way. That's just my opinion.
And that's why we love these kind of things, to just have everyone. And I love being able to like peacefully discuss opinions and not for anyone to be like, well, your opinion is shit.
That's in Twitter. In other words, Twitter.
Yeah. Right. Like, I don't know. I may change my mind after I see more of the things. I know that I've been super behind on kind of like the Oscar-y movies. I'm not seeing Joker like out of principle. I just don't want to. I don't want to see it. I may have to change my mind if it gets a bunch of Oscar nominations, but as of like right now, I just like don't want to see it.
I am so mad. Speaking of seeing Oscar movies that we don't want to, I am so mad that I went to Richard Jewell, because people sold that as it was going to be a big Oscar thing, and I fell for it.
Is it awful?
It's awful. It's such a bad movie. Like, it's just bad filmmaking. It's bad. And people were selling it as it's going to be a Best Picture nominee. It's going to get all these nominations. So, of course, I went to it.
It looks like a propaganda movie to me. That's like what a lot of Clint Eastwood has been doing lately, in my opinion. I don't want this. I don't want it. Don't want it. And why Sam Rockwell? Like, he's so good, but don't do this. Don't make
it. He's actually really good at Richard.
Yeah.
He's the best thing about
it. Yeah, the best part about it. Yeah, for sure. But at least he's not playing like a Nazi racist for once.
It's true. It's
so he finally broke that little niche he was covering.
And he's so good. Like, I think back to Sam, like, one of my favorite Sam Rockwell performances is Way, Way Back. And I just love him in that so much. I loved him in Fosse Verdon. You know, I know Michelle's going to get all the accolades for that one, as she should. But, he's so much more than paying, like, your racist cops. Like, let's give Sam Rockwell better parts. 2020.
Yeah. One of the many goals for 2020.
Many. Do you do, like, a 2020 wish list on the website?
We used to, you mean like what we're most excited about the following
or
year?
Or just like what we would like to see happen in 2020.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
We have not planned that, but perhaps we shall.
You know, just like shooting in the dark things that you don't even know will happen or not. But this is what I would like to happen.
I know right now I have my hopes really set on the Michelle Pfeiffer movie, but that's no surprise.
See,
but because it's like an actual project, you know, like as opposed to just like, I'm going to be the villain and, you know, some big, you know, some big franchise.
Yeah.
So, and this is like a real leading role in like a adaptation of a novel. It's called French Exit. I'm very like, that's my 2020 hopes.
So do you guys want to, it's a week from today are the Golden Globes. Just quick gut punch. Who's going to win best film drama and best film musical?
Oh gosh, I'm like, what's nominated? I'm scared. Nice. You know what I would love to see? Is Knives Out nominated?
Yes, it is. It is, yes.
I would love to see that win.
I think that would be a big surprise. I think it's going to be Once Upon a Time in Hollywood that wins best comedy.
Yeah, I think so too. But you know, they have surprised us before.
Yes. Who's going to win best drama? I'm so afraid it's going to be the two popes.
I would honestly love it if it was Marriage Story, just to shock everyone. But I think it's Irishman's going to have an easy win there, I think.
Yeah.
Which I still need to watch that, but I'm like, do I want to commit almost three hours to it?
Like, it doesn't feel like 3 hours. It moves. It moves fast.
Yeah. I'm allergic to long movies, as everyone knows, and I didn't feel The Irishman was ridiculously long.
All right.
The editing's really good.
That's sometimes been my problem with Scorsese, is that I'm like, your movies are a half hour too long.
Yep.
To this day, I haven't seen the end of Wolf of Wall Street, because it was going on so long, and then it was like I had to meet someone, and I was like, wow, like this movie is still going on. So I think I walked out in the last 10 minutes because I had already been in there for so long.
Well, and that movie is so repetitive, but I am not a fan of that movie.
So repetitive. It all goes downhill after the Quaaludes scene. But no, I need to watch Two Popes, and I need to watch Irishman. I loved going to see Marriage Story at the Paris Theater. I'm still kind of like sad that it didn't get a big theatrical release, because I think it could have like connected. And he's the one who I want to win Best Actor. I don't think it'll happen, but I am all about Adam Driver's performance in that movie.
Here's a question for you guys, because I really don't know who's going to win this. Who do you think is going to win Best Actress in a Musical or Comedy? Because it's Ana de Armas from Knives Out, Awkwafina from The Farewell, Cate Blanchett from Where'd You Go, Bernadette, Beanie Feldstein from Booksmart, and Emma Thompson from Late Night.
I think it's going to be Awkwafina, but Ana de Armas might surprise. But it's going to be Awkwafina. They would want to give The Farewell something.
Which I still need to see that one, too.
That one's really good. That one's worth your time.
Yeah. I think it was one that I kept telling myself I was going to go see in theaters, but I was also like, I'm not in the mental place for this one, because it just seems like it's like a hard movie to watch, just thematic. But it's on my list. But yeah, that's a kind of random assortment of women in that category.
Yes.
That's the Golden Globes category for you.
So
like, random. Random is their middle name.
It's very like, right? And we're just going to nominate Cate Blanchett because she's Cate Blanchett, and maybe she'll show up and wear something fabulous. Emma Thompson will show up, and you know, but how do you top when she came out barefoot and drunk? I don't know what year that was, where she was carrying her.
I think that was the Saving Mr. Banks year, but yeah, that was awesome.
They're both not coming. You know they're not coming. They're just like, whatever, Globes. We live so far away. We're not going to LA for just this. Just to sit there and lose. They're not coming.
Just to sit there and lose.
Yeah, they could have, like, all things being equal, they could have easily given Cate Blanchett's spot to someone else, since she's not going to show up.
Right?
And since nobody liked that movie either.
She's good in it. She deserves it. She's good.
This is from the number one Kate Blanchett fan.
Doesn't mean I'm not right.
So true. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. This was great fun to talk about Little Women for a full hour. We had so much to say about Little Women.
And tangents, but you know.
Yes. But Little Women especially. So go see it if you haven't. And if you haven't, why not? It's playing in wide release and it's really good. And it's so warm. That was my big takeaway. It felt like wrapping up with like a big blanket and a cup of hot chocolate or something.
Well, it was like I left it feeling very the same, very like uplifted in a way. And I was like, oh, this is why they released it at Christmas. I forgot how much centers around Christmas, because I got really irritated when the reviews dropped like a month before the movie came out.
Yeah.
And I was like, why aren't they releasing this at Thanksgiving? Like, I'm really mad. But no, it's a wonderful Christmas movie. It's a movie to go see with your family, with your siblings, if you have them. It's,
especially if you have lots of sisters like Kim.
Yeah, go see it with your sisters.
Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.